If you will, bow your heads. Dear God, we are so thankful for your mercy and your grace and your sacrifice at Calvary, dear Lord, and what that means to us. And dear God, just let us center on you now. Let us center on your words that you have prepared. And dear God, just let us hear them and let us be able to just apply them in our lives. And dear God, let us draw closer to you. You're always there. It's our step that sometimes is receded, and we just ask that you just allow us to open our hearts this morning and truly, truly feel your presence. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen. We opened a new sermon series last week talking about living a balanced life and what that means. And we started last week with the primary thought that you cannot live any type of balanced life or any kind of productive life unless you understand and you have the concept that is active and showing in your life that Christ is the most important thing in your life. He is the preeminent thing in your life. There's nothing that comes and supersedes Christ. And in fact, there's so much scripture that backs that up. In fact, the Ten Commandments start with, "You shall have no other God before me." And right there is the very baseline of what your relationship with God. Anything that you put before God, he's going to strike out at. He's not going to allow that to be, you know, successful in the way that it should be. And so prioritization is a key in balancing life and getting a life that feels balanced, that you're not worn out all the time. Anybody feel worn out? You don't have to raise your hand if you want to. Okay, I'll do this. Okay, double worn out. So I think in this life, especially in some of our jobs, you know, some of us that are in sales or whatever, what happens when you meet your sales goal? What happens the next year? They go up, right? Okay. And so it's just like, you know, there's always more. We want more. And that's the American way, more, more, more. And at some point, you know, there's only so much that we can do. And I think that's why a lot of people suffer with depression and with failure and feeling like they're not doing enough. And let me just say this, okay? And I'm praying about a sermon on this, but social media, there's some good about it. We use it to spread God's word here, you know, and you can stay in touch with some of your friends and stuff, but I'm just going to tell you, social media can end up being the devil, all right? The devil himself in his ways. And so I think just sometimes there's a fakeness that is presented on Facebook. And anymore, I think, you know, like, people kind of buy into the Facebook world. And, you know, have you ever seen somebody post a picture on Facebook? They spend like 20 minutes going through all their apps to make them, you know, I got to get my chin a little bit higher, my eyes a little bit tighter, my skin. I don't like that. I don't like my natural color. So I'll, you know, it's like sometimes you meet people, you know, on Facebook and you don't even recognize them. It's like, oh, that's what you look like. Okay. I was wondering why you were so blurry all the time. Thought, you know what I mean? So today we're going to talk about time management. And this isn't one of those where it's I made up scripture to fit the subject. This is mandated. Time management is mandated in the Bible. In fact, you know, it is taught that if you're going to live a productive life, you need to have time management, prioritization. All right. Last week we talked about what's the top priority that should shine in your life, and it's the preeminence of Christ. That is bottom line. If you get one thing right, get that one right. And in fact, I told you last week, and I'll reiterate that statement today, that, yeah, Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, all right, and we get salvation from that, and our relationship with God is made whole, but the ultimate result that comes out of that is that Christ is glorified. All right, because he is the preeminent being. Okay, so let's talk about time management. It is mandated. All right, it's mandated in the Bible. You can look up here in Ephesians 5. This is my underlying text. And it says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Okay, so what is circumspectly means that you do it in a very studyful way, that you are walking with pre-plans, and it's a vision towards the future. So you're doing it in a way that you're walking in a path that you have identified, and you are walking in a path on purpose. Now, let me just start here, okay? And I don't want to beat your toes up all day, but I'm preaching to myself. You're going to get to witness it, all right? But let me ask you a question, okay? How planned is your life? And I am going to eat crow for lunch today. I'll just tell you that, because you're looking at a guy who likes to just get in a car and drive. Don't even have any plans, all right? I kind of shut down in the middle of planning processes. I just get overloaded with it, okay? But the Bible calls you to plan, to walk in a path that is planned, okay? And it calls you to identify some of the roadblocks that might be up here. It asks you to identify some of the, you know, some of the good that might happen, or some of the circumstances, or, you know, you have to deal with the bad things that may happen, all right? So the Bible is very clear, and it teaches that if we're going to live a life and live a productive life, regardless of your age and your stage and where you are, you are asked to walk in a planned path, you know? I remember when I was a little kid, we were talking about this the other day, the Atlas. Anybody still own an Atlas? Yeah. They're just fun to read, right? Just get them out and read. But I remember as a kid, you know, you take the highlighter and you draw out your roads, and then you'd be like going around the bypass and then all that. And then, you know, I'd ask my dad, like, where are we? And he'd point on the map, and I'd be like, all right, we got that much more to go. Okay, and it was just, I mean, we planned out family vacations that way. Now you just put in the address and hit go, and that lady with the, you know, the direct sweet voice tells you where to go. I don't respond too well to her. I'm used to being screamed at, so if the app would scream at you, I'd probably get there quicker. But anyways, we are asked to map it out, all right, and to know where we're going, because how many feel like they've ever been drifting in life? Okay, isn't that a terrible place to be? Because here is what is happening when you're drifting, is that you're feeling the lack of purpose that has been identified in your life. You have a purpose. God built a purpose in each and every one of you. The Bible is very clear about that. And sometimes when we get selfish and when we get distracted and we start living for self, and we are, you know, we'll just say lazy or not planned enough, then we can end up in a place to where we are drifting. And that is where trouble happens. That's where you start to get into situations that you're not prepared for. And you make decisions that can have horrible, horrible results from that, that can haunt you for the rest of your life. And it's just because you weren't prepared, you didn't have it planned out the way that it should be. Okay? And then it goes on. It says that we are not to act as fools. You know, don't act a fool. All right, is what it's saying right there. So here is what is being said, okay? Now that you know that you need to plan your life, okay, what is the planning process? Well, you as a Christian, and last week we hammered the preeminence of Christ, guess where you should get your plans from? You? No. Remember, I always tell you, don't listen to that little voice in your head. He's going to lie to you, or she's going to lie to you, you know, he got me in a lot of trouble. You're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit, all right? The Holy Spirit is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. And actually, if you look at the logistics of becoming a Christian, what separates us from the rest of the world and what provides us with salvation is the gift, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us a new creature, a regenerated being. That's what separates us from the lost. That's how you get your ticket to heaven. And guess what else comes with that? Forever knowledge straight from Jesus Christ, who is always operating in the will of God the Father. You can't go wrong. So now that we understand that we're supposed to have our path planned to the best that we can, how you start out is you ask the greatest planner ever to put your feet on the right path, and that is Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And the best way that you can do that is to continue to build that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And then it goes on. It says, and sometimes these, when I was younger, you know, I would just fly through some of these verses and some of these phrases. But look here, what this one plunged my heart, all right? If I don't die here in front of you. This one, redeeming the time. You understand what that's saying to us? Redeeming the time. Making it count. Putting worth on time. Do you understand? Do you understand what's being said there? How much time have we wasted in this life? I'm ashamed to think about it. I'm ashamed to know and to even consider how much time I've wasted in this world, in this life that I've been blessed with. And what it's saying there is that, you know, there, and we'll get into it, but time is your most valuable commodity. You only have so much of it. And let me ask yourself, all right, I'm gonna punch a little bit here, so get ready, okay? I'm going to hit some body blows right here. How much time have you wasted with people in relationships because you can't forgive them? Can't get over some kind of slight or something. Some kind of disrespect. And here's the other thing. And you know, most of us are Christians here, if not all of us. All right? But we as Christians who live grace, right? I mean, we are walking, living vessels of grace provided by Jesus Christ. All right? How many of us have broken relationships or not had the ability to form a relationship with someone because we look down on something that they did? And I tell you this all the time. Your sins are ugly. You ever heard the term ugly a sin? That's because your sins are ugly. Mine, they're kind of cute a little bit. I'm just going to be honest with you. They're not too bad. All right? And that's the way we look at it. I can, you know, I can get by on my sins. You know, I can justify that all day long. But yours, holy cow, I'd be ashamed. And that's the way we look at people. You know the way God looks at it? Bible says that if you break one part of the law, you're guilty of all of it. You know what that means? We're all dirty, rotten sinners without Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's what it's saying there. Quit wasting time. Time is important. Redeem it. You ever been given like a coupon or some kind of discount or something? What are you supposed to do with those? Redeem them. Go claim the value of it. And I'm going to tell you today, pray about that. Quit wasting time. Time is limited. We only have so much of it. And we're going to waste so much of it on silly stuff and personal. I mean, get over it. Pray about it. Mend relationships. Quit looking down on people. Let's start loving people. Okay? And then it goes on and says, because the days are evil. You know what that means? It's just going to get worse. Okay? This world's just going to get worse. And if you leave yourself up to the ways of the wind, guess where you're going to end up? Failing. All right? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what is the will of the Lord and what that will is. So, where do we learn that from? Where do we get direction from that from? The Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. That's why every morning when before your feet hit the floor, what is your job as a Christian? To pray a prayer of emptying. Remove Aaron of Aaron. Get all that ugliness out. Okay? And then fill me with your Holy Spirit. Okay, so the application of that, how do we get there? What are some tips? What are some biblical direction on how to get there? The first one is to understand that life is brief. We're only here for just a little while, and we have to make it count. Your mom lived to be, what, 90? A life well lived. Still seemed like it went by too fast, right? It always does. Life is a breath. That's what the Bible says. Psalm says, Lord, make me to know my end. Make me understand that my days are limited and that I'm here just for a short period and only have so many chances. I only have so many chances to make an impact on people. I only have so many, I only have so many chances to hug my parents. I only have so many chances to hug my kids. I only get so many minutes with my wife. I only get so many minutes with my friends. My grandma died in 1991. What is that, 30 years? It's almost twice as long since she's been gone as I had with her. Just have to wait to see her in heaven. Life is brief. Make me understand that so that I don't waste it. And what is the measure of my days that I may know how frail I am? Okay? Sometimes we strut through this life like we're invincible and indestructible. Understand, help me to understand and to know my days with humility so that I don't look down on people. I live a life worth living. And indeed, you have made my days as breaths, and my age is nothing before you. You know what that means? God has always been and always will. We're just a tiny little dot on a never-ending line. Our lives represent that. And it's our prerogative, our mandate, to concentrate on the dot, ready? But on the line. Make sense to you? James tells us, whereas you not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Sometimes they pour drink offerings over the hot altar, and before the liquid would hit the fire, it would go into a mist. And that's how he saw life, is that life was just there for a second and then it's gone. Kind of a rough, brutal way to look at life. But if you're gonna make the most of this, you gotta understand that life is just a breath. We're just here for a little. We only have so many opportunities to make an impact. And then here's the other thing that I need you to really listen to. And some of you more than others on this thing. But there is a time for everything. These are some pretty famous verses right here. Ecclesiastes 3, the first 8 verses. It talks to you about there's a time for everything. All right. So let me explain it this way to you in what this means. Okay. So there's always a good and there's always a bad. All right. In this thing. We're getting a balance. You understand what's going on here? He's balancing the scale. Okay? There's a time to scatter rocks. Do you know what that means? Do you know why they scattered rocks then? So their enemies couldn't plant. And they went out into the field and there were a bunch of rocks out there. They would spend more time picking up the rocks than they would, you know, planting. But then there's a time to pick up those rocks. You understand? So there's always a good and then there's always a bad here. A balance. You got to take the sour with the sweet, right? Okay? You guys with me? All right. So here it is. In the approach to find a balanced life, all right? For instance, if you have a healthy marriage, the way that you prioritize that is God, your relationship with God is number one, and then your relationship with your spouse is number two. And then kids come at number three because they are a byproduct. They are a part of the union of the spouses, correct? Okay. But here's the deal with time. When you come home from the hospital, you know, you can't spend all your time with your spouse, right? When you got a newborn, you got to cheat some time away from your spouse when you have a newborn, right? Because that baby needs total focus. And you're going to steal time from your spouse, a mother will, and hopefully a father's there to help, okay? Hopefully it's a dual deal, but not always, right? Okay, so sometimes there's going to be an inequality that exists. Same thing with, like, if you get yourself into a financial situation, then you may have to increase your hours. You may have to go out and do extra work to supplement and help fill the gap of your debt or your financial situation there, all right? If you're sick, you can't just walk around like you're not sick so that your prioritization, your the way that you had it planned before doesn't fall out of balance. It's not reality, correct? So what the Bible's teaching here and how you can reflect this and put it into application towards time management is to understand that the Bible blesses that kind of stuff, and it says that there is a time for everything. And sometimes there's a time that you have to take all your efforts and energy and then focus as a mother, you know, as a nursing mother especially, focus on the child. And what the father has to do is not only spend time with the child, but also support and encourage and love on the mother, okay? And so then there is kind of a taking away of what was happening before you had a kid. You can't spend as much time together because you're taking care of a kid. Make sense? All right? And then when the kid grows up and leaves the house, then you have to, you know, spend as much time with them. And that usually happens around 13 when they quit talking to you. All right? So then there's the balancing back. But, you know, the secret is not to totally cheat that relationship. You still have to have your spouse as the priority, okay? And you have to let them know that and show them in actions. But if you're going to be like working and it's good that you have to take time from the home to go work to equal that out, because you can't be in a financial situation and not work extra. You know what I mean? Just the financial situation just keeps getting worse. So if you read on here, it says that what profit has the worker from that which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. So here's what happens. You just, and by the way, the secret to this is not for you to make these decisions, but to allow the Holy Spirit to show you how to tackle these times when there's going to be what would usually be an inequality, and allow the Holy Spirit to push you and guide and direct you to handle these situations so that you don't fall out of balance and the relationships aren't broken or aren't destroyed. Because there is a time for everything, and what God says is that if you allow Him to guide and direct you through these times, in the end, He will make all things beautiful. Does that make sense? Everybody with me? All right, so there it is, that sometimes you're going to have to concentrate on other things. It's okay. Just pray about it and let God lead you. Don't do it on your own. If you're traveling after a selfish motive, or it's because it's what you want and your spouse is against it or whatever, there's going to be problems there. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you, then He will lead and guide, direct you in a way that the other relationships aren't actually cheated. Make sense? If not, my email is aaron@stargbchurch.com, all right? So here's a term that they talk about all the time. It's called a work-life balance, all right? And, you know, if you have a job right now, you kind of have to ask yourself every once in a while, is that a myth? Okay, is this a myth? You know, at one time it was something that we probably did, but it's kind of become a myth because it just seems like work never leaves, right? And then you wake up and then you're at work and you fall asleep and you're like, I was at work when I fell asleep. Now I'm awake. I got to get back to work. It's like, when did it end? Okay, so here's what's being said and here's what the Bible talks about, all right? And this one's going to punch a little bit. All right, so whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. So what's being said here? Okay, so how can we apply this to time management? So, and this is something that I constantly preach to my kids that I coach, because they want to goof off, and then, you know, I tell them, listen, I'm fun, believe it or not, I'm cool, I'm fun, and there'll be a time for us to have fun, there's a time for us to practice, there's a time for us to play games, there's a time for everything, right? Okay, that's what we just studied here. So, here is what's being taught, and this is where I think a lot of people are failing, right here. So, if you're tuning out on me for a second, tune in real quick here, real quickly. What is being taught here is that if you're going to work, go to work. Go do your job. Go do it. Go do it to the best of your ability. Okay? And then when it's time to go home, go home and be home. You know what I mean? Listen to me. Put the phones down. I'm talking to Aaron P. here too, okay? Put the phones down. Be home. Be with your kids, be with your families, show them time, show them love, experience them, be there. I'm preaching hard to myself this morning, okay? And when it's time to go back to work, go to work. And when it's time to serve, serve. Because here's what's happening. I don't put my work phone or my work email on my phone. Do you know why? Because when I go home, you never check out. You never clock out. Now, as a pastor, that job never ends, okay? And I signed up for that knowing it. So I'm not complaining about that one. So don't check in on that one. But a lot of people, you know, they look at their emails or constantly looking at their emails. And then here's the other thing is when it's time to be home, I'll just put it to you pretty bluntly. Sometimes you spend more time with other people's families through social media than you do your own family that's sitting right there beside you. Like yesterday, I was at a restaurant, and there were two young people, and they never said a word through the whole meal. They were on their phones, and it looked like they were on a date. I don't know. Maybe they're brother and sister. I don't know. I mean, either way, it's not good, right? Now, my dad gets frustrated with my kids because he wants to talk to them, and they're looking at their phones, and then he'll stop and say, well, they're not listening to me. You know, I'll just quit talking. And they'll look up and say, well, we were listening to you. And I was like, well, you're looking at your phone. And they're like, well, we can do both. And I was like, well, that's disrespectful. And you didn't do that to Cecil Phelps, I promise you that. Okay? He demanded your undivided, that's how he said it, undivided attention. And you know what else he said? You've been told once. There won't be a second telling. All right? And I'm bad about it too. I'm just like anybody else. I'm human too. I come home and I'll just be honest with you, I'm zonked. Sometimes I go to eat and then I go straight to the bed. Okay? I got a bed that'll lift your head and your feet up and a 70-inch television right there in front of me in the bedroom. Okay? Terrible, isn't it? I got my phone there. It's not good. It's not good. And I'm praying about it. I need to change. Okay? And I'm going to change. But if you're going to be home, be home. And if what we've done is we've taken it all and we've mixed it in, and we're trying to work at home. And now some of you are working at home. And when work's over, if you can, shut the computer and be at home. Because now they've brought work into your house. I don't know if you know, but that's kind of a secret little dirty trick there, isn't it? Like, hey, now you're never off. So if you're going to work, work. If you're going to be at home, be at home. And quit spending time with other people's families. We good? Here's another one. Divide and conquer. What's that mean? Well, in the story of Moses, when they set up the nation there, he is judging. People come to him and asking for advice and to work out problems and to look at things. And he sits there from the time he wakes up to the time he just falls over asleep, just listening, helping. And the line never ends. I mean, it's forever long. And so his father-in-law comes to him. And Alan, sometimes father-in-laws are right. I'll just say that out here, okay? Every once in a while they get it right. But his father-in-law comes to him. And he was like, hey, this isn't good. you're going to kill yourself and everybody around you. And then these people are going to be lost without a leader. You can't do this. And it's not fair to you. It's not fair to them. And he says, you know, the thing that you do is not good. So for this thing, it's too much for you. You're not able to perform it by yourself. All right. Now, this is another one for me. This is a problem that I had. It took me a while to learn how to work with an assistant because I wanted to do everything myself. And then I got behind and I got late on stuff. And it was because, you know, I just was not used to having an assistant. I didn't know what really how to work with them. I'm still not the best in my bat. Sometimes I just do it and I stay up late and I do it. Sometimes I push it off. And I go, well, I'll get to it. And then it doesn't get done. This is another one that I need to work on. And this is one that a lot of us need to work on. Here's where I'm going with this is that Moses had to be told, you got to find some good men to help you and put them over, you know, some people are going to be over 1,000 men. Some people can only handle 100 men, but figure it out and learn how to do it and delegate. Okay. And here's the other thing is that some of you are great at helping those in need and you show up and you do it. But when the shoe's on the other foot, you have trouble accepting help. And it's like, well, I've got it. Well, you're cheating those who you've blessed being blessed by serving you. Okay? So if we're really going to be in a family here, you got to learn how to trust each other and allow each other to help. And here's the other thing. You know, I don't want to pick on the retired people here because I think you guys tithe pretty good. But here's the deal. Sometimes if you're retired, man, there's some people who need some help. I mean, there's only so many of them to go around. And let me say this. If you're a single parent, God love you. God love you. I don't know how you do it. I do not know how you do it because I don't know how Ariane does it with me. She's got 3 kids, not just 2, all right? And so I think I add to her workload rather than help her, if you're honest about it, all right? So there's people that need help, and they could use somebody just, you know, like, hey, I'm running late. Can you just, I just need somebody to just stop and help me. And if some of you guys are bored and are sitting around twiddling your thumbs thinking, you know, if you're caught up in all the Murder, She Wrote or whatever it is, you know, hey, some people might need some help. And I know that we're all bundling our faces up and all that stuff. And I get it. But there's some people that need help. Pray about it. Okay, pray about it. Because some people are working themselves to death, and then some of them are bored out of their brains. We gotta find a balance. And some people are in a position that, you know, that they can get out of, but they might need some help to get out of. You understand? And isn't that what a church family is about? Am I wrong? Am I speaking wrong language here? So pray about this, okay? Pray about it. But some people are out there swinging all by themselves, and they need help. They need some help, okay? And then I'll finish with this, discipline and wisdom, all right? And these are 2 foreign words to me. The Bible says, and listen to this, and here's what I'm very bad about doing, is stopping, and Kurt Healy's probably the best that I've ever met at doing this, preparing for the job, okay? I just jump in and I'll get it done, all right? And this verse was written about me. If the axe is dull, guess what you got to do? Swing harder and more, right? And you'll work you'll be blistered before it's over, okay? But it makes sense to me, you know, because the time that it would take to sharpen first of all, I'd have to go buy a sharpener. And then I'd probably really have to buy an axe, so it should already be sharp. But if it came dull, I'd have to buy the sharpener with it. And then, you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't want to do all that prep work. Aren't you glad they do the prep work before any kind of surgery or something? Huh? And believe it or not, I do prep work for the sermons, okay? But you know what I mean? Sometimes we're approaching problems and we're not willing to do the prep work. And we're not willing to be disciplined on how we approach things. And we're not willing to allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. Because it might be tough. It may be where we don't want to go or how we want to go. But if you're smart, if you've got wisdom, then you'll allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you, and you'll do the prep work. You'll have more wisdom, and actually, you don't have to work harder. What is it? Smarter. And the only way to get smarter with true wisdom, where does it come from? The Holy Spirit. So, from here on out, you have to constantly plan, pray, because guess what? The road changes. There's traffic, there's construction, there's all kinds of stuff. And these are not plans of vanity. They are plans of what? Submission. Submission to the Holy Spirit. This is a huge hurdle. This is one of the things that is cheating us of our peace, cheating us of our joy. And I just want to make a couple more reiterations. Man, life is short. Don't cheat it. Take advantage of it. Pray about it. Get the plan. Reevaluate, keep looking at it. And here's the thing. Be a true brother and sister in Christ and reach out to people in need. You could change their life. So, I'm going to have you stand this morning. And I need you to digest this one. Because I think that some of the points in this one will make a huge difference in your households. It'll make a huge difference in some marriages, in some relationships with children, in personal happiness. So I'm going to ask you to reflect, review on where you are. And then you can stay there, come up, just be respectful and smart down here, and ask God to provide you with the wisdom so that you can have a balanced life, because there's only so much time.
Thank you for tuning in to Star Church's sermon. We truly hope that the sermon edified you today and brought you closer to the Lord. For more information about Star Church, visit our website at stargbchurch.com. Once again, that's stargbchurch.com. If you would like to visit our church, our address is 4925 State Road 142, El Dorado, Illinois, 62930. We now pray that God will bless you as you enter the mission field and bring His word to the world. And as always, we will see you next time here at Star Church.